Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you're listening to On Point with me and my co-host. I'm Don Allen, the co-host of Studio A, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing, sir?
Man, I'm fine. And by the way, we kept the beat going to the extent that Mission Impossible came into the theaters yesterday, didn't it? Mission Impossible at all of your major theaters, if you will. Tom Cruise, my man, the 50-year-old acrobat, if you will. He's still jumping off of high buildings and doing his thing. It's gotten a good rating, a 3.5-star rating by most of the so-called critics. I know I'm going to try to get to see it as soon as I possibly can, maybe later on this evening. Mission Impossible, man, looks like the mission is impossible. Don Allen, what's going on in our beloved Shangri-La, man?
Well, I think that we're just going to have to piece this together situation by situation and just start with some stuff. But I wrote a poem yesterday.
Oh man, I like it. It sounds like something. I don't know if Hallmark will put it on a card because you do have a couple little light words there. But let's read it to the public. I think this is the doggonedest poem I've read in a long time.
Okay, it starts out. In case you haven't been told, the hands have been shook, the names have been took, the house Negroes have been picked, and the other Negroes have been tricked. Again, in case you haven't been told, the north side of Minneapolis has already been sold. So pick up your tail and ride the light rail. Don't show any objections to the change of complexion. You might call it a crime, but it was just a matter of time. Thank you very much.
Now, Don, the genesis for that, man, is the fact that this has been a tough week, man, for the movers and shakers of our community, as I understand it. And some of that is additionally reinforced by an article by Randy Furst, the Minneapolis Star Tribune's ace reporter, Mr. Furst, who, if I'm not mistaken, I remember, hey, Louis, this is Heckle and Jive, Hyde, by the way, Louis King, who said he controlled him and made his mind right. Remember that back in the summer?
Yes,
well, anyways, Randy Furst is writing about this social service center that the Ackerberg Group, I'm telling you, Ackerberg is controlling so much in this city, it is unbelievable. And, you know, one of the things that the Ackerbergs and the family said to some of us young African Americans many, many years ago is that they would return. They said, you know, you Negroes should see us as Douglas MacArthur in his declaration, we shall return, and talk about the Philippines. And I tell you, man, the Jewish community is back, baby. I mean, they are taking absolutely control of the North Side, and they're making African Americans disappear. But what was this thing that happened early in the week, man? Well, what about leading black entrepreneurs and et cetera and his associates that the brother lost all of his land in North Minneapolis? What happened, Don?
Yeah, well, Mr. Edwards, on December 14th, I happened to go down to City Hall, but let me just back up and tell you the catalyst, no pun intended, to this City Hall meeting. I got a call by some of the Academy's Louis King, who said, hey, you know, you need to cover this story. They're about to take all this land from Richard Copeland. You know, Richard Copeland involved with Thor, one of the premier African-American businessmen or black businessmen here in the Twin Cities. And
absolutely.
Yeah,
a legend as it pertains to the building and construction of Holman, now known as Heritage Village. Yes, sir. I know him well, man.
I'm like, okay, they can't take no land from him because he's like, you know, the number one guy or whatever. So, you know, Louis King got me a little pumped up, but then again, I thought about the tornado recovery and all the communications work that he farmed out to someone else, and I said, oh, yeah, this is going to be a great time to go down there and find out the real deal. But anyway, down at City Hall, Don Samuels, Lisa Goodman, Lily Grin, we're all in a couple more shifts, and then we're sitting on the city council there and decided to move to condemn the lots that Richard Copeland. Oh,
this is the development committee under the chairmanship of the powerful Lisa Goodman. Yeah. Wait a minute, now let me get my mind right, man. You said that the folks they took folks' land. Tell me about that, Doc.
Yeah, they're starting the foreclosure process, which they said that might take a year. and they referred it or liked the taking of the land from Richard Copeland and Thor to the peppercorn situation, where they had to foreclose on that gentleman and said it was really bad. But they told him, they says, hey, you'll be able to bid on it, or we might have new bidders. And that was really insulting. But then again, Mr. Edwards, we have to look back at the genesis of that. That, say that if you're a developer, Mr. Edwards, and I'm a landholder, right? And my dad was in real estate and built houses, so I know how this works. So the city says, you're going to be our darling, okay? You're going to basically be our pass-through. We're going to give you all this property, but you need to build houses on this land, okay?
Okay,
so
okay.
I came to you, Mr. Edwards.
To build houses for human habitat, right?
For
low-income and poor people, right?
Yeah, for low-income, poor people, high, whatever they want to do to sell.
Absolutely.
That. So I would sell you that lot, Mr. Edwards, for a dollar. And in our agreement, I would say, Mr. Edwards, when you sell the house, I need my 30%. Usually you sell a house like that, you sell a building like that, it's 30% of the house value is what the property value is, you know, give or take a few percent.
Okay, I got a couple points, as they like to say.
These folks basically sat on what they were doing. But you know what, Mr. Edwards? We have a caller. And
we have a caller already? All right, you haven't even given a number out now.
Let's get the
call in. Man, who we got on the other line? Identify yourself. Where you calling from?
Hello?
Hello?
You're live on the air. Okay, they're not.
We ain't playing no games today.
Yeah.
Cut them off, man, if they can't get their call back.
I cut them right off. But anyway, so over this time that Mr. Copeland had the lot, there's not a lot of action taken, not a lot of things going on. And, you know, this all derives from what's going on, what you said in the beginning with the Stu Ackerberg stuff. And on E-Democracy, Mr. Edwards, the Caucasian white folks are getting upset. They're wondering, where is the RFP? Where's the bid for proposal? And how are you handing this in to Ackerberg's hands? So here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this surge where, you know, they're going to take this land. Well, they're already getting ready to process it, take foreclosed on Heritage Park land that was owned by Mr. Copeland, and then put it back out there. And they're going to put it back perfectly for the county and for Stu Ackerberg. And they have it, okay? My thing is, what's happening is, you know, Dr. Williams has had a dental practice in a building over there in North Minneapolis for years, ever since I was a kid. I think he was the first dentist I went to in that same building.
Okay.
And so he has Hennepin County clients in there now. So what they're basically going to do is they're going to build this, what they call the Broadway curve right now, and move the clients that Dr. Williams has in his office or his building over to that building, virtually wiping out his monthly income flow from renting the property, which I think is really foul. But there's another thing that you got to look at here. Let me just pull this up here real quick.
Now, this is Dr. John Williams, the dentist, DDDS.
Yes.
Okay.
John Williams, who is also on the Minnesota Airport Commission. And so I just got a copy of the lease for from Hennepin County for this property they haven't even built yet. This is unprecedented, Mr. Edwards, because how can you already have a lease for property that's not there? Okay, and so it says lease agreement A 111373, the Ackerberg Group for rental space at 1314 West Broadway Avenue, Minneapolis, from 1113 to 12. Listen to me, from 1113 to 12/31/23. The year 2023. The first year, he's going to get $830,000. First year.
You're talking about Mr. Ackerberg.
Ackerberg Group, yes.
Of the Tel Aviv Mafia. Gotcha. Tel Aviv in Israel. The Tel Aviv Mafia. Go ahead. I'm not surprised, but go ahead, Don. This is important for people to hear.
And then first year renting expenses, that's first year renting expenses, property taxes, plus NTE, which is $2,480,000. Dollars for leasehold. I mean, the guy is sitting sweet on this, but Mr. Edwards, you know, how can this happen? This is a rhetorical question. How does this happen in a mostly black neighborhood with so-called black leaders, black clergy, that are in control or calling the shots for the community. And I mean, how does this guy walk in who's basically over South? He's responsible for Uptown. That's great. They did a great job over there. Okay?
Yeah.
I love going to Uptown. I mean, it's got a tons of variety over there. So how can this happen?
But Don, this is, I keep telling you folks, this is the Jewish declaration. This is the Tel Aviv Mafia's declaration of we shall return. This has been in the plan since the 1960s, my friend, and there have been different time sequences. And, man, they back, and black folks are going to be made to disappear. But go ahead. In fact, they are disappearing. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, definitely, they are disappearing. So, you know, it just – and if you look at the things that are going on, a lot of people that are over north aren't really listening to the circumstances that are going on because they slipped this one under the wire. And I just need to go here real quick, Mr. Edwards. It says, grant to help state boost early ed. Okay? Scoring a competitive federal grant in Minnesota, the game changer for Sandra Samuels, who runs the Northside Achievement Zone, a nonprofit that prepares students for school in North Minneapolis. What?
Yeah.
That was in today's Star and Tribune. So how can Commissioner Chrysalis even part her lips to even write a grant for the Northside Achievement Zone when they haven't even explained what they did with the $500,000 when they were the Peace Foundation awarded to them from Northway Community Trust?
Yeah. Okay, so now let me ask you a question, O'Don, because we, you know, this came up in a production meeting after interesting statements by some of the so-called powerful clergy at a gathering last Saturday in South Minneapolis. Now, have we received permission to reveal and discuss some of these things? Because you know we're being criticized, and this journalist, commentator in this studio is certainly been called an agent provocateur, a CIA operative, and all those things. Now, have we gotten permission to reveal some of the things that you've been doing just in the last 8 or 9 minutes? Do we have permission?
let me call a couple of people and ask them. I know some of them the other day was looking for the contract. You might call it a crime. It was just a matter of time, you know. But the thing is, I don't know who to ask right now for permission because, you know, we have the Council on Black Minnesotans. We don't know what they're doing. The Council on Black Minnesotans, who is actually having a sunset meeting after a briefing, they're up for sunset. You know, you have an agency for 24 years that don't do a whole lot. They're basically up for sunset, and they're going to discuss that sometime next week. I will look for the date here in the studio, try to get that out.
Well, now, they had a meeting already because there was a local talk show host on a contemporary station here in Minneapolis that attended that and had a young protege with her. Apparently she got rid of the old one. And what happened was they were, and I was very impressed by the young man. Let me be serious on that note. And they were talking about that it was an absolute disaster Thursday afternoon, that all the other racial councils came in with plans, budgets, and et cetera, and said the coloreds came in talking about each other, and the white folks got to laughing at them and made them laugh at themselves and et cetera. It was quite a moving talk show program Thursday evening on a contemporary station here in the Twin Cities. Now, what I'm hearing, Don, is, and Randy First apparently forgot to write this when he was writing his column for today's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune Johannesburg Times, and that is what the word is being sent down is that the African-American leadership has no standing. Now, I understand you saw what happened down there earlier in the week. By the way, were the blacks, I understand it was a powerful, powerful contingent. Were they allowed to speak, or is it true that Lisa Goodman told them to shut up and sit down or she'd call the police?
You know, I didn't hear that in part, but I know that they did not say a peep. But I know we had Al Flowers, Reverend Jerry McAfee, Mr. Ezell Jones, Jackie Cherry Holmes, Mr. Richard Copeland was there.
Now you're talking about former council president and former 11-year representative of the Fifth Ward who defeated the first African American councilman betrayed by much of the black leadership back then, Van White. You're talking about the same Jackie Cherry Holmes that shredded and took from the files all that information upon the arrival of the woman at that time, Natalie Johnson Lee, who defeated her. You're talking about that same Jackie Cherry Holmes?
Yes, that's who I'm talking about.
Oh, because see, some of what you've been talking about over the last couple of minutes as it pertains to who got the money and what the Negro leadership was told, Jackie Cherry Holmes had that in her confidential files. She had numerous dossiers on these people. But what happened before Natalie Johnson Lee was allowed to take possession of the office, Jackie removed every single dossier and piece of paper out of that.
Yep, that's fact.
And see, in that file was the plan that I first discussed with the federal court back in 1998-99 as chairman of the NAACP Housing Committee. Is that was in those files was the plan of the gentrification and the takeover and the removal of African Americans, even though folks thought that black folks were all going to be enhanced, if you understand what I'm saying, Don,
mm-hmm.
enhanced with the construction of Holman, which Jackie immediately changed the name to Heritage Village in an absolute disrespect for the African-American plaintiffs who came onto the scene and fought HUD to a standstill in a case known as Holman versus Kemp, now referred to as Holman versus Sarah.
Yeah.
So I just want to be clear. I want to get my man right because I'm confused about why there was so much surprise and shock on the part of your leadership that was down there earlier in the week, because many of them were a party to the master plan for the demise of the Negro.
Yes, they were. They were paid to be quiet. They were paid to sit back and not say anything. They were just I wrote earlier this week, Mr. Edwards, the tornado money. This was the greatest misdirect or redirect I've ever seen. Because what they did was they threw some money in the street and they watched them jump for it. And they jumped for it while they scuttled around for $2 million or whatever it was. In the meantime, you got Stu Ackerberg and Callis picking up a cool $20-30 million right here. They got the school district over here, just signed another lease with Hennepin County, and they ain't even broke ground or tore down a house.
Don, I got to cut in back and forth because this is the give and take between you and I. By the way, I don't see that phone ringing no more. But Ackerberg, the Tel Aviv Mafia, they own the school district building.
Yes, they do. Do Cavs.
School district own that building. They won't be able to own that building for 20 years. They got to pay Ackerberg off for him coming up with a heck of a scheme to allow a school district to use nonprofit bonding and et cetera. But then we talked about that. Don, on these programs, this program here that Lewis King refers to as Jekyll and Hyde, we talked about the fact of the center. I don't understand what people are talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it on these programs. In fact, some folks called, and it was a part of conversations for over a year.
Yes.
So I don't understand Randy First. Of course, I noticed he didn't go out and interview nobody that really knew the history. But I have to tell you, my friend, this is a part of a submittal that I made as chair of the NAACP, Minneapolis NAACP, in 1998, 1999, to the federal court. We were able to go back into court. Unfortunately, Judge Rosenbaum ruled that in order for the project known as Holman, later changed to Heritage Park by Jackie Cherry Holmes and Mapp City Council, in order for that to happen, that the NAACP would have to post $30 million. And, of course, everybody knew that organization didn't have that kind of money. And so it was business as usual. In fact, white developers were drinking down at Monte Carlo's. Oops, I didn't mean to tell that, because I can remember when a kickback contract was paid off to Marsh McLean, a big insurance company.
Ooh,
for something to do with the jail. But anyway, I'm just saying all that to say that all that information was published for the community in 2002, and in fact, I well remember a meeting in the boardroom of the Urban League of Minneapolis. You remember the Urban League of Minneapolis?
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember.
And what happened? Some of the leaders, some of them same people that the so-called black leadership group, the black so-called churches and etc., got up there and met, and they talked in terms of how certain people need to be silenced, man. That and of course, they're not very creative or innovative, so they had gotten their orders from the white folks downtown. But anyway, now, I know that's negative. That's why I asked you early on, what are we going to be allowed to talk about, you know, in 2012? Because, yeah, boys and girls, we'll be around in 2012, too. But anyways, you know, have we been authorized to talk about this, Don?
I think that we're authorized, certified, and you know, because we're going to have to facilitate the facilitation for the facilitators, because they're not doing it. And
let me make sure I'm clear in my mind.
Okay.
The white city council, well, they got the Jamaican brother down there. He's on the council. Mm-hmm. But the city council took Richard Copeland's land. And I want to be just as clear as I can be. They took his land. What did they say that, and because we need to get into that for a quick moment to show you how bad a shape things are in. Didn't they say that he was leveraging that land, and he had had an obligation to build, what was it, 125 affordable, low-income housing? He didn't leverage that land, did he, Don?
Well, I think that is part of the reason, because the only thing paid up to 2010 was the taxes, and, of course, the 2011 taxes aren't due just as yet, but he's been keeping the tax paid. But, I mean, you should have seen the look on his face. I mean, what could he have done? I understand
you posted that so that there's an authentication, if you will, authenticity of that, a verification. Didn't you post a picture on YouTube nationally of the expression on his face when Lisa Goodman told him, said, boy, the property's gone. We got it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, of course it did. Yep, I took that and I dropped that on there, and I'm actually
Now, let me ask you this question. Don, I got to do this, man, as in my own recollections of the master plan back in the late 1990s, early 2000s. Now, if he and his associates leveraged that land that was given to them by the city to build 125 houses for poor and low-income people, who, by the way, had been displaced by the demolition of public housing. And if he did that, then he got money from lending institutions like some of our ministers did for their churches that have gone under. Now, he got to pay that money back, because what happened, see, there was a heck of a coup pulled here, Don. Let's talk about this for just a minute.
Okay.
Because normally the banks get first call on doing you in.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of rare to see a government entity, in this case called the Municipality of Minneapolis and St. Paul, right?
Yeah.
Get first dibs on your property and your assets and et cetera. So the banks and then the insurance companies and the bonding companies got to be pretty ticked off right now, because how are they going to get their money back?
Exactly. They have no claims hold against anything. It's going right back to the city, and they cannot come after the city at all whatsoever.
Oh, under no circumstances.
And,
no,
I mean,
no,
they can
no.
make a fuss, but it would cost them millions to even try to pull that off, and there's millions involved in this deal. And so you look at it and you just wonder, okay, well, why didn't you sell the lot to people that could build houses and then sell the house and take your money on the back end, you know?
Well, because I needed to do that after some personal problems I had, and so I needed to leverage that property so I could continue my lifestyle, right?
All right, exactly. So,
yeah.
You know, we don't – now, again, if you look at the land, the massive land ownership around the state of Minnesota or in Minneapolis, Twin Cities, anywhere, we have no African Americans with any significant – land investment and
our holdings. Wow,
yeah.
You know,
and
I guess Mr. Allen, that is correct. They've lost it all.
Yeah, they've lost it. And then even with the school district building, in the beginning, Mr. Evers, they was telling us that Archie Givens was a 40% deal with Archie Givens and the school district, or with the construction company there, Mortensen.
Mortensen. In fact, the week after we had raised some questions about the committees that had been set up, because you remember Mortensen set up a committee with a couple of black ministers on there, and then the school district set it up with the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department, the St. Paul Human Rights Department, a couple other people. They don't even report no more, but it was Ron and Don, Heckle and Jekyll, as for our buddy Louis, who first revealed publicly in a school debate, for all those out there, October of 2010,
mm-hmm.
we had, in fact, it was then incumbent board member Theatrix Williams that confirmed what we had been saying. Now, people were attacking us and saying we didn't know we were talking about that. As William said, the school district will not own the building at 1200 West Broadway because of the arrangement we made with the powerful, powerful Ackerberg Group. That building will be owned by them for 20 years until we can pay them off. Now, this is what's getting ready to happen with the county social service building, right?
Exactly, Mr. Everett. Exactly. Same thing's getting ready to be going to happen over there. And, I mean, and since we're kind of in that area over north, you know, we have to bounce on the Urban League before we have this very important breaking news a little bit later here in the broadcast. But
okay,
we got to talk about the role of the Minneapolis Urban League. As you know, a few months ago, or last less than I think 2 months ago, they cut the staff hours, cut the staff pay by 10%, and cut the staff. And if you walk into the place, it's a ghost town. I've heard from several people that the president Scott Gray is trying to hustle up dollars from academic folks, corporations, and they're actually very desperate right now. But Mr. Edwards, there's a gentleman.
Now, who's the chairman of the board over there now, by the way? Didn't they have a turnover on the board? A lot of people bail out. Who's the chairman over there now?
It's Al McFarland, the chairman of the board.
Oh, the publisher of Insight. Okay, gotcha. Al McFarland's now the chairman of the board of the Minneapolis Urban League. Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And I just want our listeners to know that my co-host here and colleague and mentor, Mr. Edwards, was the longest seated chair been of the Minneapolis Urban League, okay? And how
that's
many,
right.
16 years? Or
no, actually, board chair for 11 years, member for 17 years, and when their coup was pulled because, you know, the white folks gave them their directions, told them, said, you know, you have to get this Negro up out of here because he's talking too much black. But when I left, man, we had over 100 employees and three pieces of significant property and $6 million budget and all that other kind of stuff. Now I don't even know that they keep the place clean. I heard some folks talk to me yesterday and said you go in there, man, it look like a pigsty. But go ahead, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be talking like that.
Oh no, that's okay. But Mr. Edwards, also too, we come to find out through very reliable sources that on the day after the tornado,
that would have been the 23rd of May.
Yes, the Minneapolis Urban League had a house over north, which sat empty, which President Scott Gray did not offer to anyone for anything, which still
with all these displaced black families,
yes,
that you and I were aware of and did battle with Lewis King and others inside of the Tornado Relief Committee. By the way, don't run up and call on the phone and say we tell them the story, because what happened, they tell me a white journalist came in and captured, I understand, something like 35 to 40 hours of tape and video of everything that was going on in the meeting and all those discussions. You know, I still think about Lewis King telling that black woman, a 60-some-year-old black woman, lost everything, and Lewis King was angry with her because she was talking about what she wasn't getting. He said, we're not here to put money in your pocket. I'll never forget that. Yeah. It looks like that Mr. Copeland and them took the position that we're going to get land and leverage it, but we ain't here to build houses for black people. Oh,
yeah.
Lord have mercy. What a community I live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just something crazy. But I mean, I'm looking at this whole picture, but after I found that out, I went in to dig a little bit deeper. There was an employee that I talked to him before the production meeting, and at first he said, yeah, go ahead, use my name. Then he said, nah, don't. But anyway, those that are listening probably will know who I'm talking about. Anyway, there was an employee at the Urban League that was responsible for getting quite a few people hired in the unions, getting them in the union and then getting them on jobs here with MnDOT. And he was kind of troubled as an employee. He's a pastor, and he was working in his capacity, what he's been trained in administration, to get people jobs. And he was actually working at the Urban League. And so he was a little troubled, Mr. Edwards, because he says, you know, they got $150,000 to do this for MnDOT. They got another $50,000.
Sure,
and, you know, they got money to do things. And, you know, as his job being a follow-through and the best kind of person you could be, a problem solver, he would walk up to President Scott Gray and ask him, you know, can we maybe use a slice of that to build capacity? Can we got some ideas. Maybe we can start an incubator. You know, because an incubator, if no one's thinking, so if there was a business incubator where, You got the best of the Urban League, the best of Summit Academy, and you put them together and start opening little companies. You know, then these guys can go out as a group, get training, and then go bid on these jobs. Scott Gray told him it was above his pay grade to ask those questions.
But when President Scott Gray of the Minneapolis Urban League was trying to sell his pathway to, what was it, Pathway to Visions or whatever?
The Gateway to
Gateway to Visions or Gateway to
Opportunity. There's so many.
Well, he was telling white corporate Minneapolis that very story, that these were the things he was going to do. He was using some of them high-powered words like incubators and things like that. And so I'm not understanding how why he would tell a low-level employee or a subordinate that's below that person's pay grade, because he was telling white corporate 2 years ago that all of that was a part of the new rising of the Urban League as a functional and effective partner, if you will, in the revitalization of the Negro community. I mean, that's what he was saying. So that obviously that wasn't true either, was it?
No, not at all. And Mr. Jim, I'd just like to let our listeners in the chat room know that our phone lines are open at toll free 877-572-4288. Again, it's 877-572-4288.
But Don, you need to make an adjustment there. You're getting a lot of static. Your voice was really breaking up.
Okay,
We want to be clear. We don't want anyone to say that we weren't properly enunciating what it was, but. Could you just again give that number just in case they were hearing the same thing I was hearing?
Okay, again, that number was 877-572-4288.
All right.
Okay, and Mr. Edwards, I'd like to encourage our listeners to, I think it was Malcolm X said that if you criticize something, it's because you really care about it or you love it, you know, and you want it to do better, you know. And so, and I don't want to sound like the village lady, but I launched a page, and it's on behalf of myself, Don Allen for President of the Minneapolis Urban League, and it's on Facebook. And I'd like to go over and have people to sign up because, you know, I launched this page, Mr. Edwards, about like a year ago and had over 400 and something people signed up. And I also posted Mark Moriel's email address in the chat room. It's Moriel.
Let's make sure people know Mark Moriel, former mayor of New Orleans, is the president, chief executive officer of the National Urban League, located in New York City. That's who Mr. Allen is talking about. Go ahead.
Yes. I just posted his email, and I suggest that you guys join me in an email campaign and say, hey, we have some trouble here. We need to take a closer look at that because the Urban League is shutting down. The gentleman and the young lady that I talked to that were actually – I was there Friday. And Mr. Gray, President Gray, was pulling out of the parking lot at about 3 o'clock and looked at me and gave me a look. If looks could kill, I'd probably be downtown on a cold slab. But
he was going probably to an important meeting in white corporate Minneapolis probably to receive assets and et cetera to – continue to keep the Urban League's head above the water. But anyways, by the way, Mr. Lassard, a gentleman by the name Mr. Lassard, he came here for the final wrap-up of the St. Paul Urban League a year ago. Mr. Lassard, who both Mr. Allen and I have talked to, Mr. Lassard is the director of affiliates. That's the proper name for an Urban League. It's called an affiliate. The NAACPs are called branches. Mr. Lassard, Don, need to give that. We'll do that phone number maybe next week. Give the phone number of Mr. Lassard. He's been a frequent visitor here in our city as the Urban League, the National Urban League, Don, is trying to hold what's left of its position here in the state of Minnesota. Mr. Lassard is another individual that would be a good person for folks to call. I asked him to come out and visit and talk in terms of the future of the Urban League, if you will. By the way, someone asked me in the production meeting of Mr. Allen this morning if I would kind of touch on some statements that I made in a book that I wrote that was published in 2002, that's almost 10 years ago. And I will just confirm if there's any questions. We have the phone number. Feel free to give me a call. Examine us or Mr. Allen, both of us, on statements we've made already in this program in the first 35 minutes.
People ask me about the role of Mr. The Urban League, and particularly Mr. Copeland in the building of Holman, now known as Heritage Park. And I got to tell you, Don, I'm kind of promoting a book here, a book written a decade ago. Oops. Mm-hmm. You probably want to read the book because it lays out the kind of betrayal that took place involving Negro leadership in actually forcing African Americans out of. I'm getting the feedback on my voice. Feeding and removing African Americans from North Minneapolis. And so just want to encourage folks that probably need to take a look at that book, The Minneapolis Story Through My Eyes, particularly pages 131 through 139, chapter 8, the master plan, if you will, the whole story and history of Holman and the master plan. And boy, the amount of money. Do you know, Don, that the city made $1 billion off of the gentrification involving our people? $1 billion. And out of that, they built 52 houses for some poor people and low income. 52 houses for $1 billion. That's like $19,800,000 a house.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you, boy, white contractors and things got rich in this country. By the way, the largest minority contract on Holman for those that are scrambling now was the $6 million concrete contract that was awarded to Richard Copeland and Thor.
Oh wow. Okay.
But Mr. Copeland doesn't do any work in the area of concrete. In fact, I think he got almost a similar contract for about a third of that amount for the district's beautiful Crystal Palace there on West Broadway.
Mm.
Yeah. But $6 million concrete. And again, for people that are screaming and hollering now, like Louis King and them, there was an interesting story over a decade ago in City Pages in which they did a 5-month investigation of what was really happening in Holman, now known as Heritage. The whole thing about the Hope money, the Hope 6 project, oops,
yeah,
$30 million ripped off there. And let me just say in closing, because, the phone lines are open. I imagine a lot of people are going to say they were probably shopping this afternoon. But, one of the things that happened back then as the black community was being ripped off is that the city and McCormick Barron and them went through a process where they pretended early on before the actual construction to be showing the African-American community and the broader community maps of what Holman was going to look like, now known as Heritage Park. And do you know that those were bogus maps and plans and schematics and et cetera, because they submitted something else altogether different to the federal government? It is in the book at page 137 in the book, The Minneapolis Story Through My Eyes, page 137 through page 138. We detail this criminal conspiracy, okay? Mm-hmm. But, hey, because it was government officials, Mr. Allen, being involved in the criminal conspiracy, nothing could be done. But that's why all those documents that should have been the possession of the office of the Fifth Council incoming person at that time, Natalie Johnson Lee, that's why all those documents were taken and purged.
That's
shredded,
right.
In fact. Yes, sir. Yeah. People don't talk about that no more. Did you know that, Don?
No.
People don't
talk.
And Jackie, here's my theme. Jackie's back.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Her and Ackerberg working hand in hand, man. Hey, making sure. I'll repeat it again. They're going to make sure that black people disappear.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they're doing. They're doing that quick,
fast.
Give
us that phone number again, Don.
That phone number, that call-in number. The phone lines are open. It's 877-572-4288. Now, Mr. Edwards, I got an interesting call here that I'm going to have to try to ring this gentleman's phone. His name is Brother James. And,
Brother James, okay.
And he said, give him a call. I just got this message. And
let's do it. Let's see who Brother James really is. Let's see who Brother James is. Because we apologize that we didn't get his call. Did he try to call us while we were here on the air?
No, I don't know. I think he did here. Let me try this.
Okay.
Try this.
Let's call him and see what Brother James has for us.
Okay, let me just pop his number there real quick. We're going to go ahead and dial it. And It's not ringing yet, but we'll see what's going on here. It does take a minute for it. But in the meantime, in the Batcave, okay, he is not answering that line. Brother James, if you're still out there listening, go ahead and give us a call, and I will definitely put you right in to the studio. The number is 877-572-4288. Again, that number is 877-572-4288. And so with that said, Mr. Edwards, we have to seems like there's some things that we're going to need to address here sooner than later. And then 2012 has to be a different year. 2012 can't look like 2010 or 2011 and going back because of the significant amount of money that's been passed through hands other than competent African-American business people. And I'm not saying that there's no white folks out there that couldn't give a helping hand. I'm just saying that the ones that are in North Minneapolis are very well connected. And if you want to see that, next time you're on the state website, look up Articles Incorporation for Northside Achievement Zone, the Cookie Card, West Broadway Business Area Association, Peace Foundation, Urban Homeworks. See the common names of the city employees that are on the Articles Incorporation. Then you'll understand the full picture. A lot of people don't understand that because they don't look down, look that far into it, but I mean, I am shocked to see this whole master plan actually coming together, and I don't have someone that I could even turn to say, hey, we need to start a community development agency, you know, and we need to start bidding on this land. We need to fill these buildings up, remodel them, work with the city, and get our own over here.
Don, I got to tell you, Mr. Allen, you got to go back to the book Through My Eyes, copyrighted, published in 2002 by your co-host. We laid out the plan. You know, we said this is what's getting ready to happen. These are the things that are being done. We even have a chapter in there on how they even started tying that together with respect back then, the gerrymandering as it would pertain to the new wards. In fact, in one segment of the book, I pointed out, see, people want to pretend to forget that. And I remember when some black religious leaders went downtown, told the white folks they were comfortable with the Fifth Ward losing access to the very profitable downtown area, including the Target Center and some other places. See, that's for those of y'all that are still out there. The big battle that went on as it pertains to redistricting, if you will. In fact, I saw a key person involved in that. I see she's now working in New York City, Keisha Gaskins, now working for the Brenneman Center there in New York City. Now they're talking in terms of, and we got to say something on this. Unfortunately, I'm afraid that Attorney General Eric Holder moved too little too late, because a whole lot of black folk ain't going to be doing no voting in November of 2012, not based on what they're getting ready to do in at least 30 states.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to disfranchise us. But anyways, all the way back to the information and et cetera in the book, Don, I got to keep saying to you, man, this was a well-conceived plan, and a lot of our black so-called leaders, some of them still in position, some of them in the room with you down there at the council meeting when the council made the decision to take Mr. Copeland's land from him, for services not rendered, if you will, within that context. You know, this is a very frightening and devious and devastating plan that was put in place a long time ago for the demise of the African American. And it's so sad to see what's happening, you know. You know, in some respects, I said this to a colleague in a discussion, a long distance discussion with somebody on the East Coast, that in some respects, the tornado of May 22nd, 2011, may have been somewhat God-sent, if you know what I'm saying, that what it did, it took the ugly scab off of leadership corruption in our city.
Yes, it sure did.
Because
some
things got exposed with respect to affordable housing, available housing, and et cetera. And the white power structure now is talking in terms of the fact that everything is in place, and in fact the leadership of the African American community has been, I have to use this word, denutted.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they've been denutted. do like they used to do them hogs down home. You know, I know that some of the leadership listening, they Southern boys coming out of Jacksonville, Florida, places like that. They know what it means when you talk about a D-nutting, a big old hog. You know what I mean? Hog been laying around in that slop. You know what I'm saying? And then what happened? Old white farmer come down with that knife, with that cutting knife, and de-nutty. Okay. Well, Don, I have to tell you, at a more sophisticated level of enunciation, that's what's being said now.
Yeah.
Downtown. Yeah. Mm. And you saw, sir, you were a living witness to history the other day down there in the city council with that powerful group of council members sitting there when they did just what they did. Okay.
Yeah.
Then
exactly.
You look at this piece by Randy First in this morning's edition of the paper. Okay. Everybody pretending that they didn't know that this deal had been cut with Ackerberg and that the service center was going in. And I would suggest for those of you that have not seen the article, you better take a look at it. You better take a look at what is going to be demolished so that Mr. Ackerberg and his associates, the Tel Aviv Mafia, have an opportunity to make profit and at the same time return, quote-unquote, the presence and the influence of the Jewish community, okay? And then, you know, I'm not being anti-Semitic, Mr. Allen. I'm just merely stating the facts. Take a look at this morning story by Randy First and take a look at the deal that was cut and the properties that will be condemned and immediate demolition will begin. And take a look at the number of abodes, if you will, or facilities in which people live in, if you
mm-hmm.
will, and those people didn't even have a clue that they're about to be homeless. And by the way, I got to say this to you, Don Albert,
okay.
because the day before y'all was down there, you know, my good friend Jamaican Don and his associates took 16 rental licenses from a white landlord, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of doing that, they knew that better than half of the tenants that they were getting ready to put in the streets in the middle of winter, in Minneapolis,
yep.
you understand, yep. knew they were people of color. Now, we have to give kudos and a heads up, if you will, of respect to the Tenants' Rights Union, if you will, and their attorney, Mr. Brown, okay?
Yes.
Because if that white attorney had not stepped up to the plate and prided the consciousness of the council, those 16 families, and there's a picture in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and I know a lot of our leaders saw it, Don.
Yes.
Don Allen. I know a lot of them saw it, of this beautiful black family, husband and wife, young couple with a bassinet, baby bassinet. I know you can appreciate this as a new father, if you will. Probably a 14, 15-week-old baby, okay? They had come down there under those conditions, caught the bus and come down. Elizabeth Glidden is standing there talking to them. Those black folk, if it had not been for Attorney Brown, were getting ready to be put out in the cold.
Mm.
Be out, be getting ready to be put out in the cold, okay, in Minnesota in the middle of winter. And when your leaders came together the next day and was clowning down there, talking about don't take our good friend's profit and et cetera, they had been absolutely silent on those African-American families who were going to be put in the street.
Yeah, they
by
didn't
the Minneapolis
say,
City
yeah,
Council.
You did
the
not.
The story's there in the paper. There ain't
yeah,
nothing new down in Ron Heckle and Jekyll is making up. White folks wrote about it, so you know it's right. You know it's
yeah.
gossip.
yeah. And, you know, that's really funny that you say that, Mr. Edwards, because over the past 3 years, all the civil rights meetings downtown at the city council chambers, you look around and I just see me and you sitting down there.
Sure was, for a long
okay.
time, that's right.
For a long time. And then this happens to these people. I mean, this is almost a violation of civil rights. Where's the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights at? What are they doing? Of course, they get paid by the city. They're not going to start any stuff. But, I mean,
that's
we
right.
are, and where, I mean, where's the Urban League? Where are these people that are supposed to, that do social services, that are supposed to address this kind of situation? Where's the protest? Where's the insurrection? Where's the resistance? Where's anything?
Well, let me say this. Let me do this, and we got about 11 minutes left of you down. After y'all was down there, as I understand it, according again to the white media, this is the white folks now. I mean, and so these are the kind of members of the Fourth Estate that most of these folks believe. They reported that your leaders went up to Shiloh International Ministries. Okay, God bless their beloved bishop, and they had a press conference, if you will.
And they said that they was going to join Occupy Minnesota. And that one of the things they're going to do, they were going and sit in on the white folks' banks. Okay. Now, that's all well and good, you know, but we haven't had that kind of passion here in Minnesota with respect to Occupy Minnesota. Okay. And in fact, by and large, black people have kind of peaked the whole guard and have kind of said, you know, I really ain't that interested. But here's one thing I would warn them all up, because I saw it happen twice. I saw it happen on Highway 55 demonstration, and I saw it a decade ago when they were tearing down public housing. For those of you that are asked by your ministers, including little ministers that'll be talking to the congregation from one or two sites in North Minneapolis, well, I don't know where they're gonna meet at tomorrow. But don't let your ministers tell you about going out there and going to jail without telling you that one of the things that they are legendary about doing, in fact, Sheriff Richard Standing Glass about it all the time, is that they go down and they cut a deal. Don't they, Mr. Allen? They cut a deal that they are in and out after being arrested, okay?
Yes, yes.
Now, the common folk have to spend the night down there in jail, right?
Exactly, exactly.
So don't let your leaders, my beloved community, don't let your leaders tell you that we're going to go out and we're going to demonstrate and we're going to take control of the bank. We're going to go into Wells Fargo. Of course, some folks can't go into Wells Fargo because they owe Wells Fargo too much money. But anyways, or Franklin Bank. But don't let them trick you into going down there and go to jail without, in fact, telling you or you being able to ask that you get the same kind of consideration that they're going to get. And that is you negotiate your arrest and your release. You understand what I'm saying to your brother, Alan?
I understand exactly what you're saying. I also want to tell someone on the chat room here, if they're asking me about the CEO of the Urban League, or actually the president of the Urban League, and I think he's talking about locally here, his salary is not $250,000 a year. If you go back to the 2009-990s, and if you want to see it for yourself, go to charitynavigator.org or .com, either one will take you to the same place, and type in Minneapolis Urban League. It will show you their latest financials and their ongoing means. And the last one I think they filed was that's on there is the 2009. They might have filed 2010, but it's not on there yet. And it listed Scott Gray as making approximately, if I recall, my memory serves me correctly, about $120,000 a year plus $12,000 in like incentives, like suits and clothing and things like that. So, no, he's not making $250,000.
Let me tell you, Mr. Allen, if I could, for people in the chat room, and we look for, you know, what happened, that figure, 250, that actually now is basically the overall budget of the Urban League.
That's their budget.
That's right. That's what people got confused about. The $250,000 is basically their budget, personnel budget with salaries and benefits based on the staff that's left. And a lot of the staff doesn't get benefits because, as Mr. Allen and I reported months and months ago, folks were forced to cut back their time, and once you drop under 40 hours, no benefits.
Exactly. So they were saving.
No benefits. So the $250,000, that's really the amount of money that the Urban League really has now in assets and accounts, if you will. So you want to clear that up, but I think it's excellent once again, Mr. Allen, that you're able to lead people to the actual documentation. Like you said, his salary about $120,000, then another $12,000 in quote unquote gratuitous fringes and et cetera, which is about $15,000 less than the Reverend Clarence Hightower was making when he left.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
now he's making over $170,000 now as the head of the Ramsey County, Washington County cap agency over there in Ramsey County. But, you know, I mean, these are all public figures. This ain't nothing that Heckle and Jive, you know, is making up, if you will. These are all public figures, public documents. In fact, it's that kind of public information that the city council used to take Mr. Copeland's property.
Yep.
Yeah. So what else we got down? We coming down the stretch, home.
Yeah, we're down the stretch.
And I was hoping we'd get some calls there, and apparently everybody in the chat room. Yeah, we got, about 5 minutes? So what else we got? Anything else?
I just want to throw this out there. You know, the Republican Party of Minnesota is just about deteriorated. They're pretty much like the Urban League right now, actually. And
This morning,
Ms. Harris, I know you probably saw this, that Amy Cook resigned or stepped down as the Senate, minority leader or majority leader,
no,
right?
No, the majority leader.
Okay.
The Republicans are the majority party.
Majority.
Down, you remember, in both houses.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, she was doing some kind of sexual hanky-panky. What was she doing up in there with a staffer? With some young staffer.
Well, he wasn't that young, and I had several calls, but I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there because the papers want. I allege that it's Michael Broadcorp, who was the vice chair of the Minnesota GOP and also was one of the staffers who also left. Okay, and so he's I call him the Twitter abuser. Michael Broadcorp. I'm alleging that's who it was because there's been a big change. The Republican Party in Minnesota is now crumbled, and if there's anybody thinking about running as a Republican under the sound of my voice, you are a one-termer if you're in now, and you will not be elected in 2012. I just want to make that
absolutely. Mr. Allen is a part of Transparency, et cetera. I was asked by friends and et cetera. I have to tell you one of the most tragic stories that is now in existence in the black community are the number of African Americans who have not been able to be buried, if you will, who were part of the very violent 2011. And one of those that I'm just amazed, and it's so sad, is Mr. Samuel Early, a man who is a member of one of our churches here in North Minneapolis that is in another facility now. Do you know, Mr. Allen, that Mr. Early, who was gunned down by unknown assassins on the 19th of November, and the minister went ahead and had his funeral as if everything was okay, do you know that he is still in cold refrigeration?
Oh, no.
As we
no.
speak? Yeah. The ministers and others have declined or refused to raise the necessary money or to intercede on behalf of a part of the family that belongs to a Pacific church. They have refused to initiate any action, put any pressure on. Now, they can come down to a meeting down there to talk in terms of protecting some property that was being leveraged for personal use and et cetera, but they can't come down and demand to know why information is being withheld by the Minneapolis Police Department and the state of Minnesota. And that this man, this African American, cannot be buried. But I got one more for you. And I certainly would call upon former Chief Harrington to do the right thing for this young man because the man was in his program. We have a young man shot and killed in St. Paul on the 29th of September, Donald Allen,
mm-hmm.
that is still in cold storage at a funeral home, a white funeral home over in St. Paul.
Mm.
And there are at least 4 to 5 other African Americans who are in cold storage who were shot. Killed in this city, if you will, that have not been interned, have not been buried. I just have to do that, Mr. Allen, for the sake of moral transparency, if you will. That's how bad these white folks is treating us in this community.
Wow, not good at all, not good at all.
Yeah.
Well, we got a little bit under 2 minutes left, Mr. Edwards. I know that tomorrow you'll be on Minneapolis Television Network, Channel 17, at 5 p.m. That's if you live in Minneapolis.
Talking about a lot of things, but one of the things I want to say to all them football fans out there, all them folks that use sports as a opiate, if you will, to stay away from everything else, you got a quarterback controversy, but ain't nobody going to say nothing. Joe Webb should be starting tomorrow, but it ain't going to happen.
Interesting.
Yes, sir. So we'll be talking about a number of things. We're talking in terms of the drone that the Iranians shot down, the United States says, but they didn't shoot it down. Mr. Allen, as a computer expert, you can appreciate this. The Iranians have surpassed the United States in the ability to interrupt, if you will, and shut down electronic operations militarily. The Iranians took control of this RQ-170 as it was over Iranian territory at one point under the command of American military experts. The Iranians have developed a sophisticated penetration operation and are now taking control of American drones.
Wow, yeah.
That's what I got. What you got on your end, Don? Anything for tomorrow, KFAI? What's that?
No, nothing tomorrow, KFAI, but just, you know, continue to read the Independent Business News Network. Google it. It comes right up top of the page. And stay tuned. This week is going to get really interesting.
Yes, it is. And may God continue to try to bless black Minneapolitans and black Minnesotans. I say this on other programs. Lord knows we need God's help. Thank you, Mr. Allen, and thanks to our listening audience.
Thank you.